Shalom everyone and Chodesh Tov, and we are studying today about the month of Adar Bet, the second Adar, which is very special because we don't have Nisan Bet, we don't have Iyar Bet, we have only Adar that comes in 2 months. So the question is, what is the significance and what are the qualities and what is that we want to connect to on Adar and how can that enhance our tikkun being in the during the month of Adar. So that's basically the topics, because we covered already a lot about Adar and the sign of Pisces in our lecture about Adar 1, exactly a month ago. Okay, so how do we do it right now? We still have to cover the issue of the issue of Adar. I'd like to cover the sign of Pisces shortly, so for people who did not hear the first one, and then to see the difference between Adar 1 and Adar 2 and what is very special about it. Okay, so, and I want to add stuff that I didn't speak about a month ago. So first of all, when we come to learn about any sign, we have to look at the Kabbalistic structure of the year, because the year is not just structured this way in because of any kind of coincidental event or randomly. Nothing is random in our universe. Everything has a structure. Everything has a formula. We live in a big matrix. And one of the major goals of a human being is to get the idea of the matrix, to get the idea of the rhythm and the structure of the rules of our universe, because when we understand how this universe is working, we have the ability to get the best out of our lives. So the first thing when you study Kabbalah, you learn about the creation and how everything evolves ex nihilo, which means something out of nothing. How could from endless creator, from an endless source, comes out a creation, something out of nothing, because we have nothing to do with the creator himself, because as we learn with the teachings of Kabbalah, that we know that the creator, because he is one and endless, he does not have any lack. He has everything. And if he has everything, he has no lack. He needs no one, including us. We are a byproduct of his existence, which we have no idea what it is, because we know we are limited and he is unlimited. But the question is, how from an endless power came out a needy soul like what we are in our reality, that needed 4 steps. When you study the tree of life, you learn that it needs 4 steps till from nothing you get something, which means till from no desire, you get a desire. From no creation comes out a creation. It has to be 4 steps, because we are talking about 2 forces. One is the endless light that emanates from and projects from the source. And the other one is the desire to receive, because if there's no one who receives, how can that light share with anyone? Okay? When we get that, the whole story is a dialogue between the creator and the creation, we have basically a system that is binary, which means you have a zero and one. Okay? When if we look at the zero, a zero perception, zero desire, zero vessel, zero, zero anything of our perception, and how that becomes a creation. So you start with a dialogue. If you know a little bit of the study of logic, it's 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1, 1. So you need four stages mathematically to bridge the gap between zero creation to a creation. And that manifests in what we know as the tetragrammaton, which is the four letters of the name of God. So the 0, 0 is number one, that's the Yud, Chochmah. The 0, 1 is the Bina. 0, 0, because in Chochmah, everything is there and still there is no vessel. Okay, which is, this is just when you study the Tree of Life. The vessel starts, there's a, something of a vessel starting, it's called a 0, 1. And when that vessel evolves, that's a, they evolves from Bina to Zeranpin, which is the Vav. And when it evolves into a full-blown vessel with full awareness of the need and the desire, that's the fourth level symbolized by the last hey, the fourth, which is Malchut. Okay, if you didn't understand it, you know, it takes a while to study, but the general idea is not that complicated, which means the basics in evolution needs four stages. Maybe this is why we have, even in the DNA, which is the, without DNA, there's no physical evolution in anything alive. Also, we have four bases as the major building blocks of DNA, which anything that we know is alive is made of. Any information is based on these four building blocks. Okay, and you have also four forces in physics, and the number four is everywhere. And here we have also in this, what we're talking about the zodiac, we're talking about the cycle of a year, and in the cycle of a year, you have four parts. The first thing you see when you look at a year, you cannot see a lot, but the first thing you see is four anchors that you can tell. When we're talking about just relationship between the sun and the earth, you can see only four, you can see four points. From the four points, you have the equinox, which means the two days, which a day and night are equal. And you have the longest night in the winter and the shortest night, longest day in the summer. So if we look at the period between the equinox of the spring till the longest day in the summer, that's the 3 months of the spring. Now, from that day of June 21st till the equinox of the fall, we have another 3 months, and that's the fall, okay? And then from there to the shortest night, shortest day, longest night, that's a winter. So we have four anchors around which the zodiac revolves, okay? Especially in the Hebrew calendar, and therefore, as we explained a month ago for Adar 1, because the yearly cycle revolves around these four points. However, the monthly zodiac signs, that goes around the cycle of the moon. Why? Because if you look at the skies, it's very clear, if somebody knows some astronomy, how do we know when the sun moves from one sign to another? There's no dotted lines in the heavens, so we know the sun just passed from one sign to another. Therefore, there's an argument, a long, long argument among astrologers. How do you tell the moment of the turning from one sign to another? And especially, some astrologers are saying this is so incorrect. Why? Because when the zodiac system has been created in the time of Abraham, 4,000 years ago, something like this, then the zodiac was structured differently because the axis of the Earth, planet Earth, is changing the position in a cycle of thousands of years, and it's not pointing the same direction that it pointed 4,000 years ago. So you're not accurate. If you're not accurate, how can you really decide when is the cusp between one sign to another? Since this is impossible, okay, and therefore you have this kind of doubt, a point of doubt between like which kind of astrological zodiac do you check when somebody tells you is doing you a chart, okay? Could be a human being, could be a computer program, right? You can you just downloaded it, or you just did it in a certain site. You gave your details and so on, and you put your birthday and birth hour and location and stuff like this. Okay, so now the question is, I don't know if you know this, but they have to give you the system they calculate, because you can sometimes look at different systems, calculate differently the turning point and the change, the crossover from one sign, zodiac sign, to another. Because there's no, as I said, there are no lines in the heavens, so we know the sun just moved from one zodiac sign to another. And however, the Jewish astrological system is saying we do it. We see that is very important. We decide that the zodiac sign is changing around the day of the new moon. What does it mean around? We don't just do it on that day. If you notice, sometimes the new moon will be in the 29th of the month. Sometimes the new moon will be on the 30th, and sometimes it will be on the 1st of the beginning of the new month. And you will ask yourself, why don't we just do it like as the Muslims, the moment there's a new moon, poof, this is when the new month is starting. No, in the Jewish calendar, we don't do it. Why? Oh, because we have some conditions. For instance, the system of calculating the new moon is also trying to make it comfortable for us. For instance, you will never have Yom Kippur on a Friday or on a Sunday. Why? Because whoever knows what's Yom Kippur, it's the moment Yom Kippur is on a Friday or a Sunday, it turns things so complicated, gets such a headache, we decided we don't want it. So we move the days. And therefore, you'll see the certain holidays, for instance, if you look at the Hebrew calendar, like the 7th of Adar, Moshe Rabbeinu's anniversary, and Lag BaOmer, which is the anniversary of Rabbi Shimon, it will never fall on Shabbat, never. You have all kinds of tricks in the Hebrew calendar that you'll see it's calculated in advance, and we delay or bring early the new moon according to our decision. Just a second. How can you do that? How can you do that? And this is one of the biggest secrets of the Hebrew calendar. The point that, yes, there is a zodiac system. There is a zodiac system of 12 signs every year. However, we have the power to determine when a new month is starting. It's like the creator outsourced the creation of the days and the signs of the zodiac and gave it to us. And therefore, when you see in the prayers of what is called Musaf, especially in every holiday in Rosh Chodesh, there's a prayer that is called Musaf. Also on Shabbat, Musaf is a prayer that is, it's a, the silent prayer. You know, we have three times a day, the silent prayer. One in the morning prayer, during the Tefillah of Shacharit. One in the afternoon prayer, which is called Mincha. And one in the evening prayer, which is called Arvit. However, during the holidays and Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh, there's another prayer, which is called an additional. Musaf means to add, that in the morning prayer of those special days, there is a reading of the Torah after the morning, the silent prayer. And after the reading of the Torah, there's an additional silent prayer that is dedicated, the text is dedicated to, it has basically seven blessings, not 19. Seven blessings, which the middle blessing is dedicated to bless the new, the holiday, okay, or the Shabbat. Now, Shabbat has been determined in the creation, and since then, all of humanity is counting a system of 7 days, and everybody has the same calculation, and you cannot change that. Therefore, the middle prayer of Shabbat Musaf is Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh Shabbat. Blessed are you, God, the one who sanctifies the Shabbat. Why? God created Shabbat, didn't ask us about it. However, on Rosh Chodesh and the holidays, it says, Mekadesh Israel ve'azmanim, Israel ve'rashei chodashim, the one who sanctifies Israel and the new moons, Israel and the special holidays, which means why here adding Israel on Shabbat, it doesn't say Israel, because whoever decides when the new moon is, when the holidays are, is the nation of Israel. We decide when we can push it around, not just a day or two sometimes, we can also push it a month ahead when we add another month of Adar. And that creates something very powerful that it says in the Talmud, something very, very, very important. In the big picture, the system, the mathematical system of the Hebrew calendar is calculated thousands of years ago and is still precise, okay? It's very complicated, but it's still precise. However, during the times that it was not published and only the High Court in Jerusalem will make that decision when starting a new month, okay? And the Talmud is saying, even if they made a mistake in the calculation, the moment they decided and published when is the new month, it's when the new month begins. What if they made a mistake deliberately, not by mistake, okay? Deliberately, they published and announced the new moon and they did it wrong. It's still the new moon. That's what the Talmud is saying. And the Talmud is saying this is a big, 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 powerful secret. How a human being has been entrusted with so much power in his mouth. So when we declare on a new moon, every Shabbat before the new moon, which is called Shabbat Mevarchim, Shabbat of blessing of the new moon, every synagogue around the world is the whole synagogue is announcing the new moon will be on this. There's an announcement exactly on the split minute and second of the new moon. But then after that, we say, and it's being written, it's like in the calendars, when will the new moon happen? When the moon, new month is starting, okay? On the 29th, the 30th, the 1st, that's when the new moon is, the new month is starting. Okay, when will be the 30th, if there's a 30th, or it's just 29th and then the 30th? And it's all of this, it's being announced in the synagogue. And we say, as we say that, it's going to be a great month. It's going to be a good month, a month full of bliss, month full of whatever. And we, there's a list of wishes that everybody's saying. This is when we understand that, yes, God is creating the universe the way it is, always leaving some space for us humans to manifest the creation the way we decide. Because in this world, on this domain, if things are going to come up easy or hard, positive or negative, that's in our hands. Why? Can God choose if it's going to be good or evil? Of course not. How can God choose evil? Evil is not a power of its own. Evil is the lack of light. When evil is being created, when the light of God is being blocked, it's not an existence, a reality, a power of itself, like some people believe in it. This is idol worshiping. To believe that the dark side has a power of its own that is disconnected from the power of the creation and the creator, this is idol worshiping. You know, some people believe in evil eye, like it's an entity by itself. Some people believe in dark forces and the dark side, like it's an entity of its own. This is idol worshiping. All of that, it has a power only from how much we block the flow of the light of the creator. Who does that depends on? Us. That's why our level is called Malchut. Malchut means kingdom, which comes, the Kabbalists say, from the understanding. You have many, many explain. You know, kingdom. Kingdom could be in a little kid. Kingdom means a beautiful palaces. You know, we saw a lot of Disney movies. Okay, we know that kingdom means control, means government. Okay, who is in control in this plane? The visible physical plane, who is in control? We are humans. Okay, we allow the light to come in, it comes in. And there's good fortune and good luck. When we do not allow it, it won't come in. But just a second. How many people do we know that don't want good fortune to be part of their everyday lives? Of course, everybody wants it to be good. Okay, you have to be out of your mind to want it evil and bad, unless you are a little bit mixed up. And why is that you've been mixed up? Because we have, when we come into a body, we get the evil inclination as a present from the creator given to us. So by overcoming the evil inclination, which is his gift to us, so when we overcome that illusion of the evil inclination, we can earn godliness. We can earn being next to the creator, being in affinity with him. We can earn the free flow of the light of the creator, which means we need to transform that gift, because without it, we cannot enjoy the light of the creator, as we learn in basic classes of Kabbalah, that there are no free lunches, no free gifts. Human beings, because they are made in by essence and in the image of God, they cannot enjoy anything unless they've earned it, because you have to be the creator of your joy and your happiness and the free flow, and you need the evil inclination in order. And it has to be really genuine, so you believe in it full-heartedly, that it's a power of its own. And then you have to undo that belief, undo that faith in evil. And by this, you can earn being closer to God. That's the whole story. Okay? So one of the major steps is when we understand the Hebrew calendar, we understand that because we are Malchut, we have the control. We control if the light of God dwells in our reality or it feels like it's so far away. It's never far away. It's always endlessly available and present in everything we do. However, the question is our minds. And let's see how it's connected, especially to the month of Adar, because in the month of Adar, we even decide that from Pisces, it doesn't go directly to Aries. It could be 60 days of Pisces, which means 2 months of Adar. So let's see. Okay, so if you look at the calendar you have in front of you, you see that the spring has 3 signs, the summer has 3 signs, the fall 3 signs, the winter 3 signs, and the winter, which is representing, which means when we say representing, it means that the forces of the creation are manifested through the dimensions of time and space, which means that dimension that is called Malchut is manifesting itself in that season that is called winter, which means time, we have to remember, is also a dimension. When people are saying, where was God before the creation? What was he doing? We have to understand that when we say the word before and after or during, we are speaking about time. The creator is about time, is above time, because time is a dimension. And a dimension means it's a limitation. The creator is above all limitations. The limitations were created for us so we can transform them, overcome them, control them, okay? So the creator manifests himself through the different dimensions of time and space, but he's above it. So he can't ask questions that deal with time and space with the creator because he's not contained in time and space. He's above time and space. Time and space control us, not him, till we undo that control. Now, we learn that because the winter is a manifestation of that dimension that is called Malchut, the last day of the Tetragrammaton, the element of earth, the desire to receive, therefore, the 3 signs of the winter, the dominant force in these 3 signs is earth, which means that is the element of the desire to receive. And therefore, their desire to receive is very intense and it can become into addiction to needs, desires, and the self. Very egotistic, could be very egotistic, which means if they do not do the spiritual work of transforming themselves, they will suffer the most. Because when you are earth, when you are the element of earth, when you are Malchut, that means you're the farthest away from the light of God. You are the most hungry. So if you know these kind of people like Capricorn, they're hungry till they become even insane many times for some safety, for power, for control. Same thing with Aquarius. Try to put an Aquarius in the corner. Try to give them a cubicle. They are so obsessed with their own freedom till they don't even know, you know, what intimacy is about if they do not overcome that need for freedom and for own expression and so on. So they can become so addicted to it in obsession. And the same thing with Pisces about their own obsession for their own freedom, their own privacy, their own intimacy and so on and so forth, and their own need for control from a different way. Okay, so you see all three signs have this obsessive, compulsive aspect that the other signs do not have the tendency as these three signs have. Now, Pisces, which is the third sign of the winter, is the central column, and central column, which means they are even more sensitive to imbalance than the others. They're looking all their lives for that balance, and especially water, that it's known in Western astrology, the water signs are also in Kabbalistic astrology, but the water means, again, sharing, but intense sensitivity. Okay, so this is the makeup of a water sign, and especially of Pisces, and therefore we see how Pisces are so obsessed with their privacy. You'll never know what's going on. You know, if you look at somebody's eyes, you can look at somebody's eyes and feel their soul. Not with Pisces. With Pisces, most of them, it's a blank. You cannot get in. It's like security. There's a shield. They go deep, deep under the ocean and no one can follow them. They're very, very obsessed with that. Okay? The problem is when you're so deep into yourself and you don't have an intense spiritual work. And what is spiritual work? Moving up and above your desire to receive. And taking the being, and the word is committing to that spiritual work, which what the Torah is about, what Kabbalah is about. It's if you don't have a commitment to spiritual work, you're doomed. Because how else do you get connected to all what you need? Which is everything that we need, which is love, safety, fulfillment, happiness, peace, peace of mind. All of that depends on how in our proximity, connection, affinity with the light of God. The deeper we run away from people, from intimacy, from connection, from really being out there for others, and especially the commitment to fight ongoingly against our desire to receive for the self alone. If we do not have that, we're doomed. And these three signs, and especially Pisces, find themselves especially addicted to all kinds of replacements. So Capricorn, it will be, not everybody, but it's like, it's very common that Capricorn, they're addicted for money, power, control, achievements, everything that is you can really accumulate, write it on your name, building stuff, everything, real estate, stuff like this, or even knowledge. And Aquarius is about in connection to and knowing it all and being everywhere. And Pisces, you can find a lot of Pisces fall into addictions to all kinds of other fake stuff, like drugs, like sex, like gambling, everything that will give you an instant gratification, but then you're too weak to get out of it because you are in the end of the cycle. The least amount of light you can find over there with Pisces. So you have to work especially harder in order to reach real spirituality. Oh, but I know a lot of Pisces people that are very spiritual. They're very, very intense about mysticism and about mystical things. And they're very sensitive to mystical forces, whatever. You have to understand that spirituality and mysticism are not the same. Spirituality, if we go about it from Hebrew, ruchaniyot, it's coming from the word ruach. And if you study Kabbalah, you understand that ruach means being committed actively to fight your own desire to receive for the self alone. Being committed intensely to fight and overcome your shortcomings, your emotions. Oh, I'm talking about instincts, emotions, that your lower emotions, your natural emotions that are part of us being in a body, like sadness, anger, fear, all of that stuff that are called reactions, okay? Spirituality means, you know, a person can be extremely spiritual and he doesn't understand mysticism, okay? That could be. And it could be a person that is so sensitive and so mystical, but it's totally not spiritual because he is so sensitive. He feels energies and souls and spirits and all kinds of stuff like this, but he never takes the initiative to overcome and transform darkness into light, bitterness into sweet. He's always a victim of all that is evil and is rejoicing amazing stuff that somebody else created for him, or it comes to him by mere luck, as it looks like, or as a seduction, okay? This is the problem with Pisces. They think they're spiritual while they're sensitive, oversensitive, and mystical. That does not mean that you are spiritual. Spirituality is about taking responsibility to overcome your emotions and transform the negative ones into positive, and to use the positive into sharing with others and not holding them for yourself. Okay? So when you understand the framework of the sign of Pisces, this is very important to understand that this is the background. Okay? Now, so we learned that according to Sefer Yetzirah, the letters that created the sign of Pisces, it's two letters because we have the Gimel for Jupiter, and we have the letter Kuf for Pisces. Okay, so it's Kuf and Gimel. Now the letter Gimel means, it's coming from the word Gomel, which means rewarding, because Jupiter is a rewarding planet. It is a planet of bliss. It is a planet that makes, when you connect to the frequency of Jupiter, you feel the bliss, you feel lucky. It's easier to get into the zone and to feel the vibrations of positivity when you are aligned with the energy of Jupiter, or when you have very powerful place of Jupiter in your astrological chart. It means that you're very lucky, okay? That's one aspect. However, as we said, when you're lucky, you can get into complacency, which is a very dangerous place. So everything good or evil, it looks like that we have in our charts, it's not good or evil, it's just an opportunity. What do we do with that opportunity? Is Jupiter influence making us complacent or makes us grateful? This depends on us. As we said, we are Malchut. We are the ones who define, let me explain it in this way. Let's say there's a movie, okay? In order to make a real good movie, you have to take a lot of footage, okay? A lot of footage. Only a very small portion of that footage goes into the real final production. Okay, same thing with our lives. It's like a movie. The creator gives us tons and tons of materials to make the movie from. The way we edit all of these materials and set them together, that creates the movie of our lives. This is not the creator's fault or merit. It's ours. That's why the life that we go through, you know, when we start, we can, you know, measure all the curses and all the gifts we got by birth that can be seen in the zodiac chart of our birth chart. But what do we do with that? What kind of a movie we produce out of the materials that the creator gave us It's like we are in a dish editing room and we have all of these materials hanging from everywhere. And we are the ones who take it, the same thing. I remember when I was in the army and I was doing all kinds of checkouts in different bases all over the country. And you already know because, you know, by the code of the army, every unit gets the same products to the kitchen. Same products. It's the same kind of rice, the same kinds of corn, the same kinds of wheat. It's the same products exactly. Meat, everything is the same. There's a code and every unit gets the same products. The question is the cook. What would he do with those products he got? So I knew exactly when I was doing like checkups of different bases around the country, you know, I knew in which bases, I had access to almost every base. So I knew which bases when I'm hungry and it's time to eat and it's lunchtime or whatever, like which base to go because the cook over there was the best. The products were the same. In some bases, the food in the dining room was horrible. And in some places, it was like a show in a gourmet kitchen in a hotel, boutique hotel. Why? Because that was the cook. And it felt like you're being served a special, delicious gourmet meal. Same thing with us. The creator is giving all of us not the same products. It's because we are not the same. And we each one of us has different backgrounds of different reincarnations, okay? But what we do with that, that's our free will. And that's our job. And it's all based on our commitment to be spiritual. What does it mean to be spiritual? To commit, to transform negative into positive, never being a victim, never blame, never being passive. And when you're passive, to realize that, and don't blame anybody, don't blame the creator even. You got the opportunity, take it. You didn't take it another time. That's called tshuva. However, you have to take the initiative, and that's called spirituality, to make the difference between spirituality and mysticism. Okay, now, so let's see, what's the difference between, what's special in the month of Pisces? And then we'll turn into Adar 2. What's so special about Adar 2? So in the month of Pisces, so if we read the Bnei Yisachar, of Rabbi Tzvi Elimelech Ordino, the great Kabbalist from the 18th century. And he says like this, something that is very important. It says in the Zohar Tuma, that's what he says. Okay, Eshet Chayil, the woman of valor. The woman of valor, that's a very famous chapter in the last chapter of Proverbs. Okay, which is a concept. Either a woman that doesn't care about the circumstances, she always gets everything done properly, spiritually, with a commitment. This is the symbolism of success in trade, in everything. I see this is in everything, relationship, family, whatever. She always gets the good out of it and she always creates success wherever she comes. Okay, that's a woman of valor. It speaks also about each one of us. It's not because we are all females, because we are all relatively to the creator, we are recipients. So we are females relatively to the creator. Okay? But it says over there, the Zohar says, Eshet Chayil Ureshimu Ve'at Bilei Uotei. The letter of the woman of valor is the letter Hey. What was the letter Hey? That is the letter for the month of Aries. Okay? That's a letter that created the month of Aries, Nisan. Okay? However, because this world is being created side by side, face to face, you know, wherever there is darkness, there must be light. Wherever there's a lot of light, there must be darkness. Wherever there's negative, there's a positive. Why? We have to earn the positive, so we have to fight the negative. So the bigger the negative, the bigger the positive. The bigger the darkness, the bigger the light. Okay, the bigger the evil inclination, the greater the revelation. We have to remember that. Okay, because, you know, if, you know, we all know it from the market. If the product is very expensive, normally should be that it is a very high quality, correct? Relatively to other products of the same use, okay? So if you have the women of valor as the letter A, we have the force that is opposite to it, which is the vessel of the darkness, and the letter for it is the letter Kuf. Kuf. And you have, and that's a letter, by the way, of the sign of Pisces. How do you know that? So we learned from the Zohar. They only, if you look at the Hebrew letters in, you know, the 22 basic original Hebrew letters, only one letter goes under the line, the letter Kuf. And it's called Ragleha Yordot Mavet. Her legs go down to death. Because down below, that's death. And that's the leg of the Kuf. Now, Kuf in Hebrew, the few meanings. The first is Kuf, an eye of an eagle. And that's, you know, all alphabets, most alphabets around the world, phonetic alphabet, they come from Hebrew. And that's why they mean something. The names mean something only in Hebrew. When you say alphabet, people think it's from Greek. But alphabet means nothing in Greek. It means only in Hebrew. Okay? Aleph is the head ox of the cattle. Okay, and bet means a bite, it's a house. Okay, and you see the form, if you take the letter A, or capital A, and you turn it aside, it looks like an ox with two horns, right? That's where it came from. Okay, the letter Kof, if you look at it, turn into English Q. So the real translation from Kof is not K, because K is Kaf. You know Kaf, it's a hand. You see the Kaf, that's a K. Okay, or like this, it's C. Okay, so that's a Kaf, that's an origin, a hand. But Kuf comes from, so the Q, if you complete the circle and there's a long line, you get an eye of an eagle. So that evolved into Q in English. Okay, so Kuf is an eye of an eagle, but it also means a monkey. And what is a monkey? It looks like a human. It looks like a human. It imitates humans, especially orangutans. Okay, it has a lot of traits of humans. That sometimes it convinces you they're almost humans. They also have a thumb like humans. However, they can never be humans because only a real, true human can overcome his or her desires and transform darkness into light, negative into positive. Okay, that's what makes a human human. So when you want to fake something that is looks like a human, but it's not. Okay, looks like it's spiritual, but it's not, it's just mystical. Okay, that connects to the big trap of a lot of Pisces. They think they are spiritual because they're very high mystical senses, but that's not what spiritual is about. Spirituality is about the commitment, not to be passive in what happens to you in your everyday life, especially emotionally. Okay? So if we see, they continues the Rabbi Tzvi Elimelech. So if you look inetit bonelefize, if you contemplate on this and meditate on this, malchut shamayim malchuta kadisha nirmezet baot hei, The heavenly kingdom is represented by the Hebrew letter Hey, the letter for the month of Nisan, the month of Exodus, the month of visible miracles. The miracle of the Exodus, the miracle of the splitting of the Red Sea. This is like they really ascending to the realm of complete spirituality and enlightenment without any doubt. That is the letter Hey, and that's the month of Nisan, the month of Nisim. Nisan, miracles, Nisim. Okay, so it's very, you can hear it. That's a month of miracles. However, there is the vessel of the dark side. And the vessel of the dark side is being hinted by the Hebrew letter Kuf. Okay? And this is marked in the Talmud tractate Sanhedrin, page 29a. Now, if we look, so that, and also now you understand why Pisces is at the end of the zodiac signs. It's the hardest for them to become spiritual, because whoever has a lot of Pisces in his chart has the problem of being passive. And if you're being passive, you're being a victim and you're being miserable, and you'll never get out of it until you really let go totally on that victim consciousness and you take initiative. And that's the hardest. That's the hardest, okay? Because as I said, there's a fake spirituality, because you can sense energies and stuff like this, and even mystical texts. And then he continues something very important. Hinei yetera mispar kuf al misparei tzadikei. The number, every Hebrew letter is a number. The letter kuf is the number 100. The letter hey is the number 5. Okay? That's why the symbol for protection from evil eye is 5 fingers, right? The letter hey. That's the letter hey that was put on the doorposts and the lintels in the Exodus. Okay, that's a 5. The kuf is 100. The difference between 5 and 100 is 95, which means to make that leap between being a victim, sitting in the dark, and blaming the whole world, which is the worst aspect of being a human being, and transforming that into the highest place of miracles, visible miracles, when you see the light of God everywhere, that you can overcome any physicality, that's a hey. So the number between the two is 95, and 95 is a magical number. Right? It's a magical number because of that. What does that mean for us? Okay, so when we go to the book of Esther, and we see why the book of Esther, the Megillah, and the story of Purim had to happen in the month of Adar, in order to give us another tool to overcome negativity, to overcome our nature, because we all have that Pisces aspect. Every human being has all 12 signs of the zodiac within him. Nobody is just an Aries or a Taurus or something like this. God forbid. We all have the aspect. When we sit in the darkness deep inside the oceans of our sores and negativity and pain and victimization, this is the dominant side of the Pisces in us that comes out to the surface. Okay, so when we look at this, it says in the book of Esther, "Achar hadvarim ha'ele gidal ha'melech ha'chashverosh et Haman." The book of Esther, chapter 3, verse 1, after those things, the king, Ahasuerus, brought to power Haman. And the word, the king, Hamelech, and the word Haman, which is the symbol of darkness and evil and dictatorships and cruelty and so on, Haman, both of them, numerical value, Gematria 95. Okay? So the number 95, with the word Haman and Hamelech, the king, both of them play that game in the Megillah, in the book of Esther. And when we're reading Hamelech and Haman, we're not talking about, it's not an historical book. It's about the game of power between the king of the universe and the dark aspect, the dark side that conceals his kingdom. Why? So when we overcome that concealment, we can earn his kingship. So Haman is basically the ticket, the token we have to pay in order to earn his kingship, God's kingship. Okay? So Haman is trying to destroy forever God's message, because God's message came to the world through the Israeli nation, the nation of Israel, and they carry the mission and the message. And Haman wants to block that so darkness will control forever. That's his job, okay? And that is the story, because every generation, that power must exist in that generation to block the light and the option of revelation. Otherwise, that generation does not have any job, because the job of every generation is to overcome its own demons, its own atrocities and darkness and so on, because that's how this generation earns the light. Okay? So if you want to really take control over the universe with total darkness, which month would you do it at? Only in the month of Adar. Only in the month of Pisces. Okay? And therefore, when the Arizal, Rabbi Ezra Gloria, is teaching us that Haman was one of the biggest warlocks, sorcerers, black magician, whatever you name it, man of magical dark powers that ever walked on earth. His wisdom was intense. When it says that he did what is called in the book of Esther, the pool could mean lottery. He did not do lottery to choose which day. He went through the charts and he realized that the darkest, that year was a leap year, that the darkest time for the nation of Israel will be Adar 2. And he chose Adar 2 to be that day, in that day on the 13th of Adar 2, a year after the calculation. That will be the day that he will end God's mission on earth by killing all the Jews living, that all of them lived within the 127 kingdoms of the Persian Empire of those days. Okay, now, so that's why the darkness was so strong. However, comes the Kabbalists, and the Kabbalists will teach us, Ein akshafim sholtim b'mishon olad b'adar bet. Witchcraft cannot affect whoever is born on Adar 2. Why? Because kshafim, because witchcraft, they are being done also, they're being calculated by also the charts of the zodiac. So, you know, when people do witchcraft, if you heard all kinds of legends and stories and movies of witchcraft, it has to be in a certain day, in a certain time, you know, a certain angle of the sun or the moon, moon rising, moon, you know, different, that it's a lot of calculations that it will be in the right moment. Whoever learned about Balak, another dark magician. Also, it's also about finding the right time, okay? However, The month of Adar 2 has no zodiac sign. Because how many zodiac signs we have? 12. Oh, yes, it is an extension of Adar, Pisces, but really, if you look at the chart, if you look at the regular chart of a regular astrologer all over the world, the chart has only 12 months. There's no place for a month of Adar 2. This is a 13-month chart, okay? So you cannot place and calculate Adar 2 in any witchcraft. And so, as it says in Talmud Yerushalmi, for Masechet Megillah, Tractate Megillah, okay, it says that Haman HaRasha, that Haman was a great warlock, okay, and the Arizal also says it, and he had the essence of the snake, okay? And he was an epitome of Amalek. We'll come to it. So God made him think that he put the sorcery of destroying all Jewish nation on Adar 2. So, and what did we say? In Adar 2, we have control. We cannot be controlled in Adar 2 by any witchcraft. Okay, and also the other thing is that we have the power because we create that month extra by our power of our speech on the Shabbat before Adar 2. Okay, and therefore that was the best time. Although it looked like to Haman that it's the darkest moment, he didn't realize that the darkest moment can become the most enlightened moment. Now, again, still, how do we explain the letter Kuf? And how do we transform the letter Kuf from darkness into holiness? And the answer is, it follows later. And he says like this, that will be, okay. The difference between the miracles of the month of Nisan and the miracles of the month of Adar is that the month of Nisan, what happened with that? Everybody, every human being alive at that time, so even nations that were not in Egypt, they knew, if you go to the Song of the Red Sea, everybody felt, realized, and was shocked by the miracles that the ripple effect just spread all over the planet. Everybody was present with their eyes. The miracle happened. Okay? Everybody could see the plague of the firstborn. Everybody could see what happened to Egypt. Everybody could feel all over the world when the water was split in the splitting of the Red Sea, also in Nisan. Every water around the world was split. And everybody knew it's because the Israelites are crossing the Red Sea. There was a very visible miracle. If you read the book of Esther, which is part of the 24 books of the Holy Bible, the canonized Hebrew Bible, okay? There's not one mentioning of God. But you read the book, and there's no doubt that God is present everywhere. And as we said, whenever the word Hamelech, the king, is mentioned, this is the king of all kings, the king of the universe. So there are two kinds of miracles. There are the miracles of Nisan. And you know what happened after all of these miracles? There was a golden calf. But there is the miracle of Purim. There was no magical miracle happening in Purim. Everything happened miraculously by nature. It just happened to be that the king Ahasuerus, the king of Persia, could not sleep that night. It just happened to be that he woke up. Just happened to be that he decided, instead of heavy belly dancers, he decided to read his memory books. It just happened to be, he opened on that page that said that Mordechai saved his life 11 years earlier, and he never rewarded him. It just happened to be that he just thinks about it so intensely, obsessively, thinking about how to reward Mordechai, and Haman is coming in with a death warrant for Mordechai, for the king to sign. And just miraculously, it happened to be that the king asks Haman, oh, you are the wisest person I know. What should be done? What should we do with a person that the king wants to show everyone that he cares for? And Haman happens to be, thinks, has to be, what? Who can the king love more than me? And he says, oh, he says, well, he wants already the throne. And he says, that person should be dressed up with the king's clothes. He should hold the king's scepter in his hand, should wear the king's crown, he should ride the king's horse. And somebody very important should take him around the capital city of the empire and announce, so shall be done with the man that the king wants to show everybody that he appreciates. And the king says, I know you're so smart. You know Mordechai? Do it to him. And Haman is holding a death warrant for Mordechai. What a coincidence, huh? It happened just on that moment. No, it was just a coincidence. Nobody all over the world at that time, or everyone who heard about it, knew this is God's actions, which means that the lesson we learn during this month is to see God in every action. Because it just happens to be that we can make it through this month. It just happened to be that we have this and this, and it happens to be that we meet the right people at the right time, even the wrong people. It's the right time and the right people, because that is God's doing. These are the materials in our editing room that we need to edit in order to create our own movie. And when we have that consciousness of Adar, we overcome Amalek. Amalek, Haman was Amalek. And what is Amalek? Amalek is that thought, that emotion that says, God is not here. He's gone. He was never here. Oh, he was, but he left us. Oh, he doesn't like me. He is right now. He doesn't like me. That's why I'm so plagued. I'm such a victim. That is the mission for us during the month of Adar. Bet especially that it's in our hands, in our mouth to make it happen. Thank you so much, and Chodesh Tov.
Mitzuyan.